Good morning. Good morning and welcome. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Emmanuel. Welcome to worship this morning and a privilege to be welcomed by you as well. After a really nice drive from Hagersville here this morning, boy, I sure felt the humidity on the way in and out. So just as a thought for with the masks, they have not spoken on, in the regulation changes about a change with the mask. We have a lot of responsive readings and singing this morning. So during those times particularly, the mask needs to be on. But I think we can all, during the time of the sermon, when we're sitting down, not reading responsively, not singing, I believe that, especially with the high vaccination rate we have, that they can come off. It hasn't been stated that that masking needs to take place when we're socially distanced in the environment here, but please make sure that you do and share what you feel comfortable with. And in the comfort and the blessing of God's presence, we are going to worship Him together this morning, and on this Sunday morning, sharing also in the gift of communion. Now, I don't believe there are any special announcements. There are some in your bulletin, so please be aware of those. Keep in prayer those people on the different lists that we have. And at this time, let's gather with our call to worship from Psalm 48. Our call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For He commanded, and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. To God be the glory, standing and singing.
Thank you.
from many places in Scripture, we're given the not simply challenge, but the command to come before God as who we are, to see God as who He is. From Psalm 51, we have several verses that David prays as he confesses his sin to the Lord. God has given us His word through His Spirit. Let's pray these verses together. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Against you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment.
Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me.
In 1 John and in the book of John, we have many great words from our Lord and from His Spirit given through His disciples that assure us of the forgiveness of sins, the assurance of salvation. From John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And that's a question by the grace of God we can answer in our heart as He shared it with the woman who was with Him then. Now we confess our sins. We also confess our faith. We confess our faith in different ways. Sometimes the Apostles' Creed, sometimes the words of God, and sometimes in the summary of the Word of God in the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 35 and 36. What does it mean that He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary?
But the eternal Son of God, who is and remains true and eternal God, took on Himself, through the working of the Holy Spirit, from the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, a truly human nature, so that He might become David's true descendant, like His brothers, in every way except for sin.
How does the holy conception and birth of Christ benefit you?
He is our mediator, and with His innocence and perfect holiness, He removes from God's sight my sin, mine since I was conceived.
And I like to always follow this with a reminder of the law as well. The summary of the law when Jesus was tempted. What is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So as we come before God in prayer this morning, we will pray for others as well. I haven't been given any particular prayer requests, but I know that we all have within our family, whether it's siblings or children or grandchildren, or within our friendship or work circles, those who have different physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional needs. We're going to continue to pray for our city, our province, our country, and COVID, as we hope and pray that numbers will continue to go down, vaccinations up, and safe times for restrictions to subside. We're going to continue to pray for Camp Shalom. They've got three more weeks, and that's always close to my heart, not simply just being chairman of the board, but also working with the camp for those first 3 weeks with their mobile camp, realizing that once again there won't be a fall fair. You saw the announcement too, it's still a month away, but for the congregational meeting, we'll continue to pray for Bart Kiefer, for your leaders in the church, and for the needs that we're aware of. And I continue to follow and enjoy things with the Olympics too. That's wrapping up this week, this day. So we pray for safety for many people traveling as well. So let's come before God in prayer, and then we'll conclude with the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time of worship and for being able to be here. Lord, we thank you that your word says so clearly, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And when you entered into Jerusalem on that week before you were, your life was given for us on the cross, that we'll remember in communion, Lord, you said that so clearly once again. Thank you, Lord, for the many places in your word where it reminds us of the great blessing and even our need to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of song and singing, fellowship and prayer, hearing your word and meditating on it. And Lord, we thank you for those we are gathered with, and we pray that you'd be with those who aren't here, who might be traveling or ill, or just waiting until things are a bit more clear. Lord, we pray that you would be with the leaders in this church, the leaders in our denomination, with Pastor Bart Kiefer. We pray for the ministries and missions of our denomination too. We pray for the ministry of Camp Shalom in these just 3 more weeks coming up. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the leaders there, the staff who are there, the campers who come, the special needs guests, and the day campers. Lord, we pray for the extended families as well. Lord, we've seen so much rain this summer already. We pray that you would continue to be with farmers and their different needs. Lord, we thank you that that there's a mutual blessing with the parking lot and the construction crew. Lord, we also continue to pray for the different people in our bulletin. We pray for one another, for Gary and Kathy, Bill and Kathy, and Liz. Lord, we have others that we pray for, healthcare workers. We have meetings coming up, congregational meeting. We continue to pray for the different events coming up, whether it's Fall Fair done in a virtual way or the Words of Hope ministry. Lord, we continue to pray for the different pastors who come here. You're leading for the consistory and congregational meetings. You're leading for all that you call us to. For those on the prayer corner, Janet and Nellie, for John and Alan, Jasper and Kathy, Liz and Margaret, Carly, Pat and Gordon. Lord, we pray that we would be people who raise up one another in prayer. And Lord, if you would like us to be the answer to someone's prayer by what we hear and know about, help us to do so. Help us to be people who listen well, listen to the needs of others, listen to your word, and be true hearers and doers of it. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of being able to share in communion in a few moments from now. And we pray, Lord, that when we do so, that you would guide us to once again remember, not simply as a way of looking back, but at where we are and where you call us to be. Lord, we thank you for the different blessings that you have given this day, this summer. We thank you for the blessings that are experienced here in Whitby, blessings in Ontario, in Canada. Lord, we thank you for the different ways we can see your hand in our family, in our church, in walking in your way. And Lord, in just a few minutes, we have the blessing of opening your word too. And guide us as we pray for understanding after we sing your praise. And indeed, Lord, take our lives and let them be. And thank you, Lord, that we can pray together the prayer your Son taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take my life and let it be.
Thank you, Leo. And thank you, Trish and Kevin, and all of those who lead in worship in so many ways. There's the blessing of two large fans working here. I just want to make sure, can everyone hear okay? Everything's okay there? Good. Just a little nod, everyone can hear. Maybe that's a little bit better. I adjusted this. It's a bit of a challenge putting glasses, mask, and headset together, but we have the blessing of the technology that allows us to do so. I still can't picture how Jesus would preach to thousands on the mountainside. He must have had a loud voice and acoustics much beyond what we have. But we thank the Lord for this time of worship this morning, and do as you feel comfortable. But it's a hot Sunday, and I really believe it is safe and legal to put it down, but you do what you feel comfortable with, and I'll let Tony know later how many people took that thought or not. But I think we're okay. We're not speaking. We're not singing. We're socially distanced. We're in cohorts, right? Family units. So we do our best to listen to all the different advice given. It was a challenge to hear in schools how strict the things will still be this fall and how high the numbers have to be before we move to the next stage, anticipating all health units to stand along with it, anticipating 80% vaccination rate, and that down to the grade 12 level with the two shots and with the 2 weeks passed is asking a lot. And I know there's some people who just wonder when the reciprocity is going to come from the Americans to let the travel restrictions open. But it's all got to be done in time, and I believe that we are called to abide by what the government says. The people of the reformers 100 years ago, with the Spanish influenza, were known not only for following the regulations that the government stipulated then, but they also were the only group, the Christians, who really cared for the needy in that time. They didn't run away like many others did. They cared for the sick, the elderly, the dying. They cared particularly for those with special needs in what I've read. So may God grant us a swift recovery time and the ability to do what's best and walk in it. We're going to open God's Word and read it together. We have the blessing of God's Word. Sometimes we forget, just 350 years ago, a lot of people, not only was the reading rate down, but the Bibles were and the sermons were still in languages people couldn't understand. We have the blessing of the printed Word of God. We have the blessing of being able to understand it, to read it. And we have the blessing of the Holy Spirit, God Himself, that gave His Word that we have with the Holy Spirit in us to help us understand it. And so I always pray in my heart and with my words too, I hope, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. So we're going to read God's word this morning and ask for a blessing upon it to begin that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the many places in your word that you remind us that your word is a light, it's a lamp for our feet right in front of us, for our path where we're going. Lord, help us to be people who hide your word in our hearts, not simply that it would be hidden, but that we might not sin against you. Lord, through your Holy Spirit, you promised that after Pentecost, when the gift of the Spirit would come, Lord, that you would help your people, your disciples, remember what you had taught and what was given. So, Lord, help us to be people who receive your word and who are changed by it. Lord, some people come here this morning probably with a lot of needs, physical or different concerns on their minds or hearts. And, Lord, we need a word of comfort. Some people, Lord, come here and we need a word of straightening out or admonition or guidance or direction. We're looking for your will or your leading. May your word and spirit provide that. And Lord, sometimes it's just a blessing of knowledge or knowledge that then transforms into wisdom. May we receive that as well. And Lord, we have just a short time here when we read your word, but help us to live it until your soon and coming return, that we might bear fruit. Fruit that points to you, fruit that shows the difference that your word, your love, the gift of your Son, our Savior, truly means. And Lord, may your word go forth with strength in Whitby, in Ontario, in Canada, in this world, in places of peace and joy and anticipation and comfort, and in places where things are pretty tough. Lord, be with your people and your pastors and your missionaries in the hearing and the applying of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, one chapter in the Old Testament. One chapter from 2 Kings 5. And I want you to, while you're hearing this, what I'm going to focus on is telling it maybe a little bit deeper, maybe a little bit more, but also focusing on three servants. Can you find the three servants and their different approaches to doing what was right, to responding to their situation, to living what was there? It's 2 Kings chapter 5, the whole chapter. The word of the Lord. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram and he was a valiant soldier. But he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, Naaman's wife, "If only my master, Naaman, would see the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, about 150 pounds, 750 pounds, and 6,000 shekels of gold, about 150 pounds, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. And are not Abana and Pharpah, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So Naaman went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored, and he became clean. It became clean, like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. Naaman stood before Elisha and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. That was the second servant. Now the third. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Ramon to bow down, and he's leaning on my arm and I bow there also, when I bow down in the temple of Ramon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." "Go in peace," Elisha said. After Naaman had traveled some distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, "My master was too easy on Naaman the Aramean by not accepting from him what he brought. As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him." So Gehazi hurried after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running toward him, he got down from the chariot to meet him. "Is everything all right?" he asked. "Everything is all right," Gehazi answered. "My master sent me to say, 2 young men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 sets of clothing." "By all means, take 2 talents," said Naaman. He urged Gehazi to accept them and then tied up the 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 sets of clothing. He gave them to 2 of his servants, and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the things from the servants and put them away in the house. He sent the men away, and they left. Then he went in and stood before his master Elisha. "Where have you been, Gehazi?" Elisha asked him. "Your servant didn't go anywhere," Gehazi answered. But Elisha said to him, "Was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money or to accept clothes, olive groves, vineyards, flocks, herds, or manservants or maidservants? Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever." Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence, and he was leprous, as white as snow. The word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to all who hear and read and apply it. So we often look at Christ, the great high priest, but Christ also as a servant. If you consider how often he served food, 4,000, 5,000 people, he served at the wine that his mother told him that there was no wine left. But he also served the Lord's Supper to the disciples when he said, "Take," when he said, "Remember," when we are told, "Do this in remembrance of me." So we have masters and servants here, and it made me think of a song I remember from university days, a song that was popular for just a little while, and it said this: "Brother, let me be your servant. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too." Serving. The verses we have in front of us have something I believe that we can learn from in many ways. Not only are they true historically and show God's leading, not only do they give history, but they also give a clear accounting of what serving the Lord means and how 3 different servants acted and what happened. So we read first. We're going to share in what happens here. In this narrative, we have the story of grace given in time of need, sharing and simplicity of a faithful father's gift, but also the pain of choosing the worldly over the eternal. So Naaman was a commander in Aram's army, in the Aramean army. He was highly regarded because of the victory that he had. It said he was a valiant soldier, he was a great man, and he was highly regarded. Well, 3 clear superlatives. But why? For one simple reason: because the Lord had given victory to the king through him. And then after all those accolades we had here, but he had leprosy. And in most of our Bibles, there's a little A after their word. And leprosy at those days and in the reading of God's word can mean different skin diseases. And it almost seems as if this leprosy that Naaman has is a spot, a certain area on his body, because later it says that Naaman wanted Elisha to wave his hand over the spot. But it was very concerning because it was debilitating and it was contagious, and it would slowly mean that more parts of this man's body didn't have feeling in it and would cause great challenges for him in his leadership role. So it was also, after all these good things to hear about Naaman, a little bit hard to hear those words that the bands from Aram had gone out, and it seems as if they were, I guess you could say, regularly harassing or regularly going down to the people of Israel and causing them great, great difficulty. Almost sounds like the time of Gideon. Remember when Gideon had to hide in the wine press? It almost sounds like the time with the Roman soldiers. It sounds like so many times when God's people would let them to their own designs of their own sin, their own idolatry, God would let other people have victory over them as a means for them to realize how much they needed God's hand, His protection, His blessing, His miraculous intervention. That was not a time that Israel was experiencing here, because during this time, a young girl had been taken captive from Israel. Now, this could have been, and likely was, at the hands of this man, Naaman. So all of a sudden, we have a different impression of him. But there's a young girl. She's serving Naaman's wife. It doesn't say she was a slave. It doesn't say she was exactly what she was, but she served Naaman's wife. And so she obviously had heard about what Naaman had, this leprosy. But we hear something in this servant captive girl. Not just a girl, it says a young girl. How old would she be? We can only speculate. 8 years old? A little older maybe? But she was a servant to Naaman's wife. And she said very simply, in a longing way, she must have cared for, she must have been cared for. That's hard to say how she was treated. But her response from her upbringing in the Israelite family was that she so much wished, if only my master would see the prophet in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Well, that's servant number one, a servant girl, slave girl, taken captive, saying to her mistress, her captor's wife, if only my master would see the prophet in Samaria, he'd be cured. What would place it in the heart of this young girl to wish that her captor would be cured? This is nothing less than God's leading again. And in just the first two verses, God had given Abram the victory to be a valiant soldier, to be a great man, to be highly regarded. God had given God had given Naaman a wife who had a servant girl who was taken captive, who would point him to what could cure him. Then we have something interesting as this develops. We have Naaman must have gone to the king, of Aram, his boss, and basically asked for a leave, asked if he could go. Because all we hear is that immediately after that, the king of Aram said, by all means, go. He had such a high regard for his servant Naaman, but yet such a low regard for Israel that he would raid them often. He had such a high regard for Naaman that he said, not only go, but I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And I believe that perhaps the source of all of this silver and all of this gold, I added up in a concordance. I had about 900 pounds of gold and silver and 10 sets of clothing. And you can be sure they weren't just ordinary sets of clothing either. They were sent with Naaman. And in this letter, basically, the king of Aram expects that the king of Israel has a direct connection with the prophet. No, he can cure Naaman. There's the expectation there. Now, the king of Israel at this time, the kings of Israel quite often were not God-fearing. I had the name at the tip of my tongue here before, but I've forgotten who the king was. You can look back in the previous chapters and find out who the king was of Israel at this time. He got this letter, tore his robe, and he comes with three strong questions because he realizes that leprosy isn't something that you cure with money. Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me? So he tears his robes and he speaks basically about being bullied. He's being bullied. And so what happens is we have a response because Elisha must have heard about this. Elisha, the prophet. Elisha heard about this and says, why have you torn your robes? Have him come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. It's not just that there's a prophet in Israel. The phrase has a deeper meaning than that. It's a prophet of the one and true living God, the only God of heaven and earth. If you send, King of Israel, this man to me, this man will find out that there's a prophet in Israel. Elisha was so confident of God's leading that he said, this man will know that there is a God in Israel, that there's a prophet in Israel. Have him come to me and he'll know this. So let's find out what Naaman does. He's not by himself. He has horses in the plural, chariots in the plural, servants. And he stops at the door of Elisha's house. So he's expecting that Elisha will come out. Of course, right? So Elisha doesn't answer the door. Elisha has a servant. Elisha says to his servant, go and tell Naaman what to do. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you'll be cleansed. Naaman hears this from a messenger. Naaman has come with 900 pounds of gold and silver. Lots of clothing to give, chariots and horses and servants. His country domineers over Israel. And Elisha's only sending a messenger? And the messenger says, go in the Jordan? Well, there's 2 things wrong with that. Number 1, Elisha didn't come out. I thought he would have come out. I thought he'd stand and he'd call on the name of his Lord and he'd wave his hand over my spot and I'd be cured. That's what made him angry. But it was more than that. Wash in the River Jordan. Wash in their little creek. I'm not sure at what stage the Jordan River was then, how it was compared to those other 2 rivers. But the rivers in Damascus were known for their exceptional clarity, the purity of the water, the coolness of the water. They're much better than the rivers here. Why can't I go in them and be cleansed? And then, by the time he realizes Elisha didn't come out and he was asked to clean in this one, he was angry. No, he was angry before. Now he's in a rage, which must have been a very violent anger, maybe equivalent to the anger of the king of Israel when he had that letter that he received. See the parallels there too? So, then we come to servant number 2. Naaman has a wise servant, Naaman's wife has a wise slave girl. Naaman has a wise servant as well. Servant number 2. My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? How much more than when he tells you wash and be cleansed? So Naaman is stopped in the tracks of his anger and rage and listens to the simple advice. And why don't we do that too? Why don't we realize that whatever situations we're in, like that slave girl, we can still point to God's goodness and a desire to see healing, even among those who have hurt us or taken us away? Why can't we, like Naaman, say, listen to the simplicity of what this servant of God is saying? If he would have said, go and do some great things and give me all that money, or that's not nearly enough, or whatever, you would have surely done it. But he's telling you to just wash in the Jordan right here. How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So it almost seems as if very quickly Naaman's rage is stopped. You want to stop someone who's angry and got rage? Well, if someone is angry and spiteful and full of rage, and you address them the same way, something's being built into something even bigger. Then you get wars and bitterness and killing and hatred that goes on for generations. But Naaman all of a sudden realizes the simplicity of what his servant tells him. Let's be that kind of servant who speaks simply of, do what the Lord tells you. Do what is right. Just wash here and be cleansed. And so he does so. He dips himself in. I don't know if that's a different word. Elisha had said, go and wash 7 times. He dipped 7 times, but he did it. And when he comes up, his flesh is restored, and even more than restored. He's a hardened soldier. He's restored, and he's become clean and has skin completely like that of a young boy. Not a weathered, hardened, leathery, perhaps scarred skin. And it seems as if it's instantaneous. So very quickly, Naaman, all his attendants, soldiers, horses, servants, go back to the man of God, go back to Elijah. Now I know, he says to Elijah, there's no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept this gift. And Elisha answers, as surely as the Lord lives, that's an oath, I will not accept a thing. Naaman urged him, please take this gift. No. We have to realize how often Elisha, Elijah, and others in the Bible wouldn't receive excessive gifts when they are giving a gift from the Lord for what they've done. That's an example. That happens in many other places. So we've seen 2 servants now. We could go further on Naaman, how Naaman says, I'd like 2 donkeys full of dirt because he wants to build an altar to worship the one and only God. But basically Naaman says, please forgive me. I still have to go with the king when he goes and worships his God. And when he leans on me, I'm his protector. Please forgive me for that. But I know there's only one God. So basically, Elisha says, go in peace. Then we have the 3rd servant, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. He does some thinking. My master was too easy on Naaman, the Aramean, not accepting those gifts. I'm going to run after him and get something from him. Now we have the reason that we need communion, because we see that sin is so much knocking at our door. Jesus died once for our sins, but I believe it's our duty, it's rightful, our rightful blessing to remember that Jesus died for our sins. This was the servant of Elisha, who had experienced God's leading and miracles through Elisha. He runs after Naaman and says, hey, I've just had a couple of prophets come and they need some money, they need some clothing. Elisha sent me, and Naaman says, well, of course, take 2 talents. Take these 2 sets of clothing. Let me put them in a special bag. Let me send 2 servants with you. And they come to, it says, the house. I'm not sure if that was Gehazi's house or Elisha's house, but there he comes, and they're left there, and the servants go back, and there is Gehazi. Elisha knows. Sort of like a parent. The parents just know. Where have you been, Gehazi? I didn't go anywhere. You can almost hear the nervousness in his voice. My spirit was with you when you went, that man went down from his chariot, and you took his money. You're not to accept money or this exorbitant gift from what God has done. And Naaman, the had leprosy. That leprosy he had will cling to you forever and your family. But stop here for a minute. And you might say, well, that's kind of clear and definitive and final. Gehazi, I was greedy. And we're greedy sometimes too, and we bear the consequence of that. Gehazi, I wasn't struck down and died. Gehazi, I had leprosy, and it would be in his family, and the result of that sin would be in his family. But let's be very quick and say, well, I hear the calling to be like that servant of Naaman's wife. I hear the calling to be like that servant of Naaman. Just simply do what's right, what's asked of you. But this greediness, boy, this sure is excessive. And it seems like he deserved what he got. But I think we need to stop. And we need to say there's so much of that in us too. There's so much of that that calls us to this supper. Because as much as a skin disease is an awful thing, there's still room for salvation. And until the Lord returns, there's still the calling of remembering, of looking back at what God has done and given freely through His Son. There's the calling of looking at where He is right now. We are called to have communion, to walk with Him here and now, and to let that shine in the simplicity of the servant's actions in the two we saw before Gehazi. And we're also called to look ahead in hope. The Lord will return. He will return and set things right. He will take His faithful people, and the right is wrong will be made right. And what has been done for the Lord after the cleansing fire through all of the brush of our lives in this world, what's done for the Lord will be what stands. And we have a lot to learn from many, many different short, true historical accounts of God's leading in the Old Testament. Yes. But let's bring them to the reality of the New Testament. What Jesus has done for us. How we are called to respond to Him. And what He ultimately and freely offers us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can share in the gift of communion. We can know truly the greed in our own hearts, and help us to desire to be people who simply live and share and tell our faith, so that when You have the simple commands of listening to Your word and Your leading, simply go down to the Jordan. Lord, when we have the simple commands of saying, I wish for You, even my captor, that You would know the healing of God through the prophet in Israel, in Samaria. Lord, I pray that You would help us to know the simplicity of following Your word, but also to have the warning against greed, and to know that ultimately, once again, we can look at You as the great high priest, the servant, the one who died for our sins and rose again, and is the only one who gives us real victory in Jesus. You, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So I'm going to celebrate the meaning of the sacrament, and then we're going to join together in the Lord's Supper. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, was ordained and instituted the Holy Supper to nourish and sustain those who are born again and grafted into the family, His church. Christ has instituted an earthly and visible bread as the sacrament of His body, and the wine and grape juice as the sacrament of His blood.
Just as truly as we take and hold the sacrament in our hands and eat and drink them in our mouths, by which our life is then sustained, so truly we receive into our souls, for our spiritual life, the true body and true blood of Christ, our only Savior. We receive these by faith, which is the hand and mouth of our souls.
This banquet is a spiritual table at which Christ communicates Himself to us with all his benefits.
By the use of this holy sacrament, we are moved to a fervent love of God and our neighbors.
After his resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ came to his disciples, and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, to the close of the age." Let's come before God in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the blessing of this communion time, when we can look back in remembrance at what you have done, when we can receive in communion the promises you have given, and we can come in hope, believing what is yet to come. Lord, we thank you that you invite us, as members of your body, to participate in communion this morning. Holy and right it is, and our joyful duty to give thanks to you at all times and in all places. O Lord, our Creator, almighty and everlasting, you created the heavens with all its hosts, the earth with all its plenty, and you've given us life and life eternal. Your presence, your perseverance, your providence. But you have shown us the fullness of your love in sending into the world your Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, made flesh for us and for our salvation. For this precious gift of this mighty Savior who has reconciled us to you, we praise you and we bless you, O Lord. With your whole church on earth and with all the company of heaven, we worship and adore your glorious name. So, most righteous God, we remember in this supper the perfect sacrifice offered once on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ for the sin of the whole world. In the joy of your resurrection and in expectation of your coming again, we offer ourselves to you as holy and living sacrifices. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, that this bread which we break and this cup which we bless may be to us the communion of the body and the blood of Christ. Grant that being joined together in him, we may attain to the unity of the faith and grow up in all things unto Christ our Lord. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many hills into one cup, O Lord, grant that your whole church may soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Yes, I miss the blessing of when elders can come forward and you can be served. But I hope you have in front of you ready this right here. And Tony is in the back there. If anyone who doesn't have one, please raise your hand and then Tony will bring it to you. Am I right, Tony? Anyone need one of the communion element containers? No? So we will just peel back the top portion and then we'll hear the words from the Lord and then we'll share in it. We invite all those who are members of God's church, God's family, to join in communion this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, when he had given thanks, he took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. For this is my body, broken for you. This do as often as you eat of it, in remembrance of me." The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember, and believe. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man had to be lifted up. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In the same manner also, in the same way, when they had supped, he said, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing that we bless is the communion of the poured out blood of Christ. Take, drink, remember, and believe the blood of Christ shed for you. And a prayer of thanksgiving. Now to him who by the power at work within us. May the Lord who works in us guide us to walk in his way and in his will. Lord, we thank you for the gift of this communion time. We thank you, Lord, that we can lift up our hearts to you. We thank you, Lord, that we can give thanks to you. You are our Lord. It is right, it is good to give you thanks and praise. Father of mercy and God of all comfort, give, we pray, the gifts of eternal life, the gifts of your Spirit leading. We give you all praise, all thanks, and all glory forever. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. And all of God's people said, Amen. Now to him who is by the power at work within you, we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Often we read after the time of communion, Psalm 103. We haven't done so this morning, but I'd encourage you to perhaps look that up sometime later and realize that much of what is in there is shared in a time of communion thanksgiving as well. So at this time, we're going to rise for the benediction and then close with Great is thy faithfulness. Let's stand. The Lord has fed us at his table. We have come because of his calling. We have received and shared in the gift of his Spirit, his word, and all that is together here. But we go in the grace that he calls us to go in. You are a people of faith, of hope, and of love. We've come to worship and to share in communion. And let us go now and receive his grace. May the grace of God the Father, may the love of his Son Jesus Christ, may the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit be and abide with each and every one, now and forevermore. Amen.